Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connections Monday edition. Today's date is the 14th day of September 2009. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith, and of course we are here to further our efforts at exposing the crime gang and the problems that we all face as human beings in this world, being part of a family that is divided, being part of a family that is at war with itself over the allowing of certain groups to describe themselves in ways that have led to actions by people that have destroyed the cohesiveness of the human family. And in fact, right now we are on the precipice, on the cusp of destroying everything we hold dear in this world. But at the same time, there's reason for hope. There's a lot of hope out there that for the first time in maybe ever, since this crime gang has had its grips around our throat, we're beginning to take the world back, and it's happening in a way that no one could have predicted, although we were all there hoping it would, and it is happening. And I have a guest today, somebody important to me. Early on in this battle, we had a falling out with one another over associations we had, and I followed one path with an association that turned out to be terrible for me, and it didn't work out, and I used my influence to say things that weren't true about this man, and I've already told him I was terribly sorry about it, and we have been in continuous conversation since that day, since we talked and patched things up. I know him from I know his family from my youth, in fact, ladies and gentlemen, and that is a proud statement I make that on this day. He's a wonderful writer. He's an extremely insightful guy because he's spent the time to know how we got into this position and who's done it. And he brings forward a lot of great ideas, and I'm going to bring him up right now. His name is John Kaminsky. John, are you with me?
Hello, Daryl.
Well, it's nice to have you back, John, on the French Connection, as ever. You know, we're working toward 870 hours worth of interviews I've done.
That's excellent. I was just on IamTheWitness.com the other day reading the Hitchcock material.
Yes.
I must say that you have compiled one of the best repositories of important knowledge on the internet.
Well, $10 these days will get you a cup of coffee if nobody reads it. See, now, here's the big battle, John, that we've had. We've got a lot of people out there working overtime to try to steer people away from the truth, and I know you've got some insights into the control of the 9/11 truth movement and where it's actually taking itself to lately. I don't see it working as well for them as they had hoped, and they're actually starting to get desperate and do things like bring out assets like, in my view, assets like Charlie Sheen to try to say Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld did all of this stuff so that people will look away from the Israeli connection and the Zionist connection and actually start pointing the finger at mid-level Americans that were certainly involved but certainly not at the control point. Is that a fair statement to make?
Ooh, that was a lot of statement. Which part?
Well, the Charlie Sheen part, or the takeover of the...
Oh, that. Yeah, that's the Rosie O'Donnell syndrome, where they pick somebody who has a questionable reputation and make him make a truthful assertion and have it ridiculed by the press on the basis of his reputation rather than what he said.
Yes.
And Charlie Sheen and Rosie O'Donnell and James Brolin, I saw the other day, did something nasty. All fit in that category.
Well, but on top of that, what we have is somebody puffing him up from inside the so-called truth movement who has never, ever signed on to the facts. Of course, that person is Alex Jones, but the problem we have in our movement is that Alex Jones does carry a lot of people with him because he has been promoted so heavily.
Well, and why, who do you think would be behind or have the ability to promote him so heavily?
Well, there you go. The same people we're fighting against.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, but that doesn't explain the halfway guys out there. And there are a bunch of halfway guys. You know, we can talk about Rentz's halfway stuff. He puts out a great article about one thing, and then he's got a picture of Bigfoot in the next one, and then he's got, you know, the nonsense mixed with truth mixed with nonsense again is by itself discrediting. And then we've got Mr. Rivero over here pushing Alex Jones as though he's the next Messiah. it's frightening to think that people we've come to rely on at certain levels are only halfway measured in this battle.
Yeah, I really felt that way at the very beginning of the 9/11 skeptics movement, when the people that we had to rely on then were, just to name three, Mike Rupert, Jared Israel, and Gerard Holmgren. And of course, Mike Rupert wrote a great book, but he turned out to be a shill for the oil companies and diverted all the early 9/11 conferences into discussions about peak oil. Jared Israel compiled that wonderful timeline of all the airplanes and what they did and when they did it and how the fighter jets from Otis Air Force Base were late, all of that. And it turns out he later moved back to Israel, and now the prevailing conclusion of the real 9/11 skeptics movement is that there were no planes. So that whole thing constructed by Jared Israel and the path that Mike Rupert took us down was set up beforehand to channel the focus of the people who didn't believe their bullshit official story to follow, and we all followed it, and they seemed like wonderful leads, but they all led to endless distractions and concealment of the fact that there were no planes. Now,
well, we can agree, John, we can agree to disagree at some level, because I do see impact evidence of planes on both of the trade centers. However, the one at the Pentagon is a nonsense.
Unmanned aerial vehicles at best, if they existed at all.
Well, but here's the other side of that, though. See, what we talked about privately for a few moments was that, as you said, it's a distraction, and what it does is we know who put the whole conspiracy together, because their henchmen are listed in detail and their activities in detail. So the simple fact of the matter is it's rather superfluous, and it causes derisions that end up causing you and I to spend time on things we shouldn't be bothering with.
Exactly right. By the way, there's a great email circulating around, passing around the website 800-Pound Gorilla, and it is really a tremendous compilation of all the Jews who were involved in all the aspects of 9/11.
Yeah, that one, I think, comes off of the site of Info Underground, and there's also another one on Patrick Grimm's site, or is it? Yeah, I think it's Patrick Grimm. However, in the same breath, we've got Patrick Grimm telling a lot of the facts about 9/11, but then he's going after the African American community, calling them the epithets and saying that they're subhuman. And I mean, the very thing that I loathe in other human beings, judging them for skin color or something, is exactly what he's doing. So he takes his work with nonsense. There are very few people out there sticking to their knitting and putting out a good quality research and material. I find that most of them are ne'er-do-wells, or they've got an agenda.
Well, I'm mostly interested in the information and not the reputation, and you can generally tell the reputation from the information that they provide. As far as who's playing fair and who's playing for ulterior motives, I wonder if that isn't something in the past. I wonder if everybody hasn't shaken themselves out of a tree of their own accord at this point. Because even though a lot of people are still inveigled by, I get a lot of people telling me, oh, you got to listen to Alex Jones, he's got the great stuff, and I tell them that, yeah, but he always seems to forget the last step.
Yep.
And making the fateful connection. Rentz is a slightly different version of that. You were absolutely right about him years ago, Daryl, when you first started this.
Yeah.
So, you know, as time has passed, a lot of people have dropped out, a lot of good people have dropped out, and a lot of other people have been inveigled by this network of that maybe traces back to George Soros, the We Are Truth group, and all of these other national organizations, 9/11 Truth, and I, at that point, when I saw what was happening there, I kind of dropped back because I had reached my conclusion. The buildings came down in 10 seconds, violating all the laws of physics, and that automatically should have convened a grand jury somewhere. Every cop in the goddamn world is should be brought up on charges of ignoring the obvious crimes that took place right before their eyes as all this happened.
That's right.
And yet we hid it all behind the flag. They waved the flag. We all went blind. Nobody could think about it straight for like 6 months.
Including me, John, when I started. When I saw that, you know, I said, hey, let's nuke the Arabs, is what I was screaming.
I had a friend, an ex-friend down here who was riding around the neighborhood with a .45 on his seat looking for Muslims.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the anger, I didn't know how to react. I mean, look, I had never experienced that kind of trauma in my life. And in fact, you know, the very thought of it still brings back chills to me. I'm just, it's shocking to think that a group of human beings would purposefully do something so heinous. It's unbelievable but true that there is a concerted effort out there, John, to kill us.
that's old news, Al.
Well, yeah, but I mean, to me now it's old news, but not in 2001 it wasn't.
No, that's right. And now, one of the real mind openers is realizing what they're doing in the atmosphere. And Sophia has done on that, what is that website? She has contrailsmyass.com.
Yeah, yeah.
On the shit that they are putting into us, they are actually changing the composition of human beings.
Well, I know, and Jennifer Lake has been looking into that as well. And I'm, you know, one of the things I want to tell you about Ren. So, you know, myself, you included, and Jennifer have had a couple of articles put up on Rents, and of course, as soon as he realized what he'd done with me, he took it off. And he also took off Jennifer's research on the flu, because it was very close to the truth in every instance.
Oh man!
And you know, look, they're overloading us with metals, and one of the metals that is coming out is this radioactive barium. Barium is by definition a low level radioactive metal, and then they've got microscopic aluminum in there. Now, both barium and aluminum attack the immune system. And as you get a buildup of these metals inside you, they pass the blood-brain barrier, they get into your brain, they cause prion presets, they cause Alzheimer's disease, they cause the immune deficiency, they cause all kinds of things.
We have to remember, on each of these subjects, and God knows there are millions of them,
yep,
we have to remember one thing. We have to devote an equal amount of time to, yes, comprehending the details, but then second, and almost simultaneous, we have to try to identify who it was that perpetrated this. And the more often we do that, the more often we will find that the cause of the problem traces back to the same source.
That's right. That's right. And in the latest incantation, of course, we take a look at a guy like Ron Paul. Everybody wants him to be their savior. And here we go with him co-authoring a book with the chairman of the PNAC document. And I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It's true. And then of course, you know, even people claiming it's at mid-level points that they were truth tellers, like a guy named Lehrman over in New Mexico. His father,
Leland's, yes, Leland Lehrman.
Yeah, well, his father's a PNAC co-signatory and head of the committee, and you know, it's like the guy Perlman there. Not Perlman. Who's this guy? His father was a B'nai B'rith executive, and he's now the new Al Qaeda. I mean,
oh yeah, that guy. No, but those are superficial media things for consumption and the edification of the feckless goyim.
Yes, yes.
The real names we need to investigate are John Gold, who was the guy who went around giving money to all the 9/11 groups with the proviso that they not ever mention Israel. And that infected many of the 9/11 groups. Another guy is Rick Siegel, a supposed public-spirited citizen who just happened to be sitting on Staten Island on 9/11 and supposedly filmed the planes flying into the buildings, which it would be an interesting occupation if there actually were no planes. He has become the bane of a lot of people in the 9/11, or at least the one person, and there are more than one, who are trying to ID the perps. That's what we got to do. We got to know who they were. And she's one of those people who, to that end, began to run Ernst Zundel videos on her website to try to expand people's consciousness. And because of that, she has been blackballed by all these Jewish-controlled 9/11 skeptics subgroups.
Oh, well, you know, we had this guy, Eric John Phelps, pushing that the Black Pope was behind all this, and then he turned out...
He's an Israeli diamond merchant.
That's right, Johnny, the diamond merchant. You can't make this stuff up. But then, let's get into the government people. Let's talk about, you know, the father and son of the Kagans, the father and son of the Crystals, the Fromes and the Lay Deans and the Irving, Libby. His name is Leibowitz. We can go down the list and just keep, Ari Fleischer, Dov Zolkheim. I mean, it's an endless litany. We can get into Obama now. Yeah.
I know, but don't let that become a distraction, and don't throw up your hands like that, because that is the objective in naming those people is to follow the path to their controller.
That's right.
And the controller is most definitely located somewhere amongst the focal points of Wall Street, the City of London, and whatever castle you want to pick in on the European continent.
That's right.
Somewhere in that access, under the influence of the world Sanhedrin, they are running the world and turning it into exactly like Palestine.
That's right.
Palestine, Iraq, and Afghanistan are the models if we allow this Jewish putz of the world to continue.
Well, do you remember the guy Berkshire Hathaway? What's his name there?
Warren Buffett.
Warren Buffett standing with Evelyn Rothschild and Arnold Schwarzenegger at his castle with the castle in the background. You want to know who the guy that runs the show, one of them. I mean, it's not just people. But then they have their spiritual arm of criminals in the Lubavitch, the Chabad Lubavitch. I mean, they've done a very, very thorough job of
oh, they're good.
Oh, yeah, they're good. And you know, it's force multiplication is what they've been able to be good at, because they're not huge in numbers.
I don't think I understand that statement.
Well, they've been able to take some, and generally, people who think they're doing a good thing in many instances.
Oh, yes.
And sign them up to stuff.
I was just talking about that the other day while examining the Tavistock kind of influence on the 60s.
Mm.
I told someone that I didn't have any children because I read Paul Ehrlich, and he said the world was overpopulated and it's going to result in a lot of people needlessly dying. So I thought I would be noble and say, well, I don't have any children because there's plenty of people in the world. That was a trick.
Yeah.
To get the United States to stop reproducing, and now we are going to reap the whirlwind of that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you know, you take a look at Tavistock developing the rock and roll industry out of Britain and making sure that all of their icons are somehow either degenerate or homosexual. And you can go down the list. I mean, you know, and they're still doing it today. They've got this new guy named Young that's singing his butt off. He's gay. So they're moving people away from this population. The population thing is important, and this homosexual movement is extremely integral to their plan of reducing world population. But then you've got the Stanford Research Institute working with people that were putting out Timmy Leary's nonsense and the rest of it, and the CIA, and these two institutes have worked hand in glove with each other.
They have a way in the movies of turning beautiful Gentile women into rape victims.
Yes, they do.
And in fact, you don't ever, like as in the case with Jennifer Connelly, you don't ever get an Oscar until you do that. And they also do that with the males as well. They make them play some ridiculous pervert. William Hurt was an example of that. They make them play some pervert, so in your mind, you're ambivalent over these people. And it's like, the whole thing has to be viewed. There's a template you can use to see the whole thing all at once, and it is it's destabilization.
Yes.
Everything they do is to destabilize the existing order, make it vibrate. They don't really care what happens to it as long as, while they're shaking the tree, they get the coins that fall out.
Well, John, it seems to me that the reason why if they stopped shaking the world long for any moments respite, we would all start coming together in a single mindset as to what's going on around us, and they don't want us to be able to do that, so they have to just keep throwing and heaping on shock after shock after shock, and we were so shell-shocked now that they can't stop. They have to do it in almost a continuous stream. Back in the 60s, a shock would last 6 months. They would throw a shock out in the world, and it would be bantered around for months after months. Now they shock us every two or three days.
I think you're just still into symptoms and distractions here. I think the cause of it is self-hatred caused by fear of death. And they haven't adopted the magic bullet of Jesus or some other system that gives them that feeling of security without which we are apparently not able to function properly. If they don't have that, then they wind up feeling left out, which is their whole history, voluntarily left out because they don't have that. And because they don't have that, they develop a feeling of persecution, which they then project back onto everybody else because everybody else isn't feeling as miserable as they are.
Well, you see, though, John, if you could prove to me that there is no God, then I would have no need for faith. And see,
I would never attempt to do that.
Well, I know that. I know you wouldn't. But you see, this is the whole point. So what they need to do here is just keep shifting the way you use faith to protect yourself from looking at real issues.
Yes. That's why we have all the denominations. We read in Archibald Ramsey that John Calvin, the great Protestant reformer, was really Cullen.
That's right.
Switzerland.
That's right.
And take all of the Protestant denominations from there. A person we both talked about a lot in past years had a great idea one time. She wanted to write a comparative story about Henry VIII, who was the real founder of the Protestant religion, and Muhammad.
Yeah.
She was a Muhammad fan, and of course Muhammad's biography is pretty solid, pretty amazing. I mean, he came out with some good lines. And of all the monotheisms, Islam is by far the most humane.
It is not only the most humane, but it is in its essence an inclusive and non-judgmental in many ways.
And it's so Jewish that we should have in the American papers this demonization of Islam and the Muslims when at bottom they are the sweetest people in the world.
That's right. Hey, John, you remember when we were kids? You're a couple of years older than me, but we were kids. You know, your mother, when she got ready for church, would put on some gloves and she made sure she had a cover on her head, and she went, and it wasn't because she wasn't being modern or hip. It was a question of being respectful of what you were doing, because bringing respect to something and bringing morality and honor to something was seen as a good thing when we were children. All of a sudden, that was turned on its ear, and
media power, Jewish media power.
There you go. And now, they're making it illegal for women to cover their heads.
That's beautiful. Well, they're teaching homosexuality in first grade, for God's sakes.
Well, you know, I've always had only a one-way exit there, and here's one of the things that I've brought up is that just the health risks alone are good enough reason for people to come out against that. And of course, the evidence is it's definitive that male homosexuality and coming in contact with other males, this is a disease process. Now, in fact, John, you could not leave your septic tank exposed in your backyard because it would be a health risk. So why should they let other people mess around with that kind of stuff?
I don't think I want to get any further into this.
But it's true, John. I mean, come on.
Of course it's true. Of course it's true.
And it's painful we recognize.
It's all part of the destabilization tableau.
Yes.
They wanted to blow apart the family. The whole women's liberation thing was all Jewish.
Yes, Bella Abzug and Gloria Steinem, and yes,
Phyllis Chesler, Women in Madness. Coleman, you know John Coleman, right? The guy, he writes great stuff about Tavistock, but unfortunately for everyone, he never mentions the prohibited word.
Yep.
So it's like you were just describing someone else. Oh, well, Jeff, what's his name? Is that same way. He's that same kind of almost last level of disinformation where this person convinces you that they're on your side, and think of the people we could put in this category.
Henry Mackow.
People who pretend to be on your side, and then if you read the fine print, you find out something different. Although I'll tell you, there's a caveat to be put into that, and that is that it's a lot of times, and I've learned this the hard way so many times, you have to overcome differences you might have in your ultimate picture of what's going on, and accept the good that other people are doing, even though it might not be totally to your liking.
Well, as long as they're not disingenuous in their efforts.
Well, we were talking about white racists before.
Yes.
And I have not been able to completely embrace some of the work that many of them have done, because they tend to lump the blacks and Jews together, and I think this is a big mistake.
Yeah.
I think that blacks are our fellow victims.
Oh, absolutely.
And to single out the many barbarian acts they have done is always useful, because there is a media bias to protect them now, because it's run by the Jews and they want to better integrate them into society, not to help them, but for the reason it gives them better control over the society by generally dumbing it down on all levels.
That's right.
But where was I going with that?
Well,
the divide and conquer strategy has Catholics fighting Muslims, and they're virtually the same. Jewish world plan that we see outlined in Ramsey and so many other the great older writers is to pit all the white countries against each other, because they were supreme in the world, and they took that as the best target. So they worked for hundreds of years to undermine Russia. They got England, and they through media fooled the British into thinking they were still being run by the Brits, and they weren't. In fact, they just brought over a whole new Jewish dynasty from Saxe-Coburg.
Well, listen to this one about the British. This might shake a thought out of you. During the rule of Victoria, when they really ensconced themselves under Disraeli, the Prime Minister. But they knew that she was completely dependent on Prince Albert, and Prince Albert mysteriously died of some disease in his prime, and left this woman a dribbling fool up in Balmoral Castle in Scotland, and left the Jews to run her entire administration in London. And this is when they ensconced themselves in every aspect of the British crown.
That's right about the same time that they began their destabilization push in the United States, for the same reason, with repeated stock market crashes in the 1870s and 80s.
Exactly.
All leading up to, once they got a Jewish president in Theodore Roosevelt, the pushing through of the Federal Reserve deal.
That's right. Exactly right. And so, yes.
So, what are we doing? What are we trying to do?
Well, let me tell you what I think. First of all, we have to stop the assault. And the only way to do that is to actually identify who's doing the assaulting. And
exactly.
And now from that, we can all agree to disagree on issues, but we can do it in a way that will move us ahead in positive ways. But unless we get rid of the attackers, we're not going to be able to do that.
That's right. I agree with everything you just said.
Yeah. Now, of course, identifying the attackers. First of all, you know, you mentioned the London, New York, Chicago axis of crime, but you know, we know that these people have been bleeding out our financial structure and our real economy for the last 4 or 5 years in earnest to leave us all destitute. We could take those assets back at the stroke of a pen.
Yes. Yes, we could.
Yes. Now,
we could.
Yeah.
I've been reading two subjects that have a lot of interest to me. One is the pogroms in Russia.
Yep.
In the 1880s. And I was just reading a piece forwarded to me by Hazel McKinley, who you may know, a longtime Jew fighter in England.
Yep.
And she sent me a piece by an 1890s writer named Goldwin Smith. And
yes, I read the whole book. I read the book. Yep.
Yeah, I read it long ago. But he was describing how, really, the story of the pogroms began in England when Jews got together and started a fund drive to aid the poor, persecuted Jews who were being savaged by the Tsar. Now, Britain, it turns out, sent a delegation to Russia to investigate and found the whole story to be groundless. Yet etched in history is this myth that the Jews were persecuted in Tsarist Russia and had to have assistance from other countries to bail them out of their predicament when there was no persecution to begin with. The only persecution they ever got was after they assassinated 5 Tsars in the 19th century alone, either by poison or by explosion or by some other method.
Or Rasputin's shenanigans within the court, and of course, we know the story here, and you know, John, one of the things that really got these Zionists angry was when Russia came to the aid of the fledgling United States during their the European Jews' attention at the young country, and the Russian Tsar said, "Hold on a minute, I know who's behind these attempts by Britain and France and the rest of you to dissect this country, and I won't stand for it." And he sent some of his military over. That really got these people in a knot, and they turned their ire at them. And this is what they did with the German people as well.
Well, that's the great thing about Ramsay's The Nameless War, which you can, by the way, read the whole thing on my website, which is johnkaminsky.info.
It's been on my site for 3.5 years, John.
I know it. As I said, you have one of the best repositories around. I'm catching up as best I can. You know, there's another lady who's stopped really actively compiling stuff, but you keep seeing her stuff reappearing, and that's Jackie Petru at sweetliberty.org.
Yeah.
She has a fantastic library of things germane to the subject.
Well, Paquita de Shishnarev is a book you want to read about if you're going into the Russian crime events, because De Shishnarev's book, she writes under the name of Fry, F-R-Y, but she's actually De Shishnarev. She comes from the upper crust of the Russian monarchy, and she had to leave the country, of course, in fear of her life, and she wrote some definitive work. Waters Flowing Eastward is her book.
Oh, I've heard of that.
It's at the top, very top of my site. The entire book's on the website. Very powerful. Very powerful. But anyway, I you know, here we are. I'm trying to get people to wrap their minds around the idea of starting to name the names of the very top people. And of course, some of them are quite easy. I mean, you can see the henchmen. You can see the Paulsons of the world, the Bernankes of the world.
Did you see Boland's latest piece? He names Ehud Barak as the mastermind of 9/11, which is very plausible, because at the time, Barak, who's always at the top of the Israeli government in some capacity, was the defense minister and in charge of all their military operations at that date.
It's a
logical conclusion. I would have to read it more carefully to see if he has anything in there worth going in and knowing. I mean, it's like we already know that he's part of that hierarchy. I think what's probably of more interest that I'd like to know personally is how they operated Cheney, because Cheney seemed to be the guy who was driving the boat. And when you get down to 9/11, it turns out, after 8 years, we know that there were 7 different government operations involving air defenses going on that day, and not everybody in every operation knew what everybody in every other operation was doing.
Except Cheney.
Cheney.
That's right.
Only Dick Cheney.
That's right.
So, he's not that smart. Somebody had help coordinating that. But think of the amount of prior planning that would be necessary to set that up, and I can only conclude, because I don't, as much as I am so embarrassed and ashamed of the behavior of the United States military, you know, they're still my boys, and I don't like to see them screwed like this. It's not their fault. We got to get the real perps.
Yeah.
Pinned down in public. And the real handicap now is that the fact that the Jews control the entire court system. They control the entire legal profession. They control everything.
Yeah, they do. They've got a monopoly on all structures, and that's...
The only thing that can beat that is for every person in the world to know exactly what they do and who they are, and to rise up and say, you're under arrest, you've stolen our money since time immemorial, and we're going to prosecute you for it. And that's what needs to happen throughout the entire world all at once.
And well, we're heading in that direction, John. I smell it.
I think we are. Yep, I think we are.
And I you know, in the early days of trying to put this out there, of course, you know, I was savaged, and so were you. And sadly, you were savaged by me at times. But the fact is, now at this point in time, I've tried to, since I've been able to uncouple myself from a well-known handler. And I mean, I have to be honest with people. You know, I came into this as a greenie. I had no idea. I've often said, you know, you come into this as a cucumber and you end as a pickle. Well, we're
all greenhorns, and we have to remember that that's the best part of us.
Well, it is. But I mean, at the learning process, you end up throwing in with people that end up damaging you in some way. Now, I almost did this recently with a guy named Gates and his pal, James Rockefeller. Now, the reason why you're laughing. Well, I read their book. Now, the book had some really solid stuff in it, John.
Yeah.
And I, you know, of course, telling the story all in one place in the way he did was a brilliant stroke. However, it wasn't specific about any names or anything else, and it left out 9/11. Well, of course, that became an issue immediately in a conversation we had, and all the flags went up for me. And you told me, you got caught out by him. Now, when did you read something that caught you a little bit off guard?
I didn't even have to go there. A person with a fairly good reputation, whose reputation seems to be diminishing a bit,